Would you introduce yourself, please?
Yes. I am Edie Benz, and I'm a musician from Wales.
Everybody just assumes Wales is just a lot of grass and a lot of sheep and a lot of blue-collar people. So Cardiff is a bigger place. Swansea is where in relation to
all
of that?
So Swansea is near Cardiff. It's about an hour drive from Cardiff, and it is sort of the most west point you can go. If you think of London as being east, it is the most west point from there. It's on the end of the UK, if that makes
sense. Wow. So like if you went too far,
yeah,
would you go into the ocean?
You would fall off, and then you'd end up in America, I think, eventually.
I'd like to see that happen. Okay, so we've got that. We've got comparisons to Stevie Nicks and Carole King. See, I mean, I have to go here, right? But then to Brighton, to London is the trajectory. But take me a little deeper. Did you move from Wales to Brighton with your family, or?
No. So I grew up in Swansea, and when I was living there, there wasn't that much of a music scene that I felt wanted me. It was like very rock music based in a sort of metal sense. And
so Swansea is metal.
Yeah, it's evolved a lot now. I don't know why. I think it was just at the time of when I was growing up, a lot of the sort of boys I knew who played guitars were into heavy rock music and sometimes.
And you were
music.
Like, I need to go somewhere else because I'm just not going to be the next whoever.
Yeah, no, I don't think I was going to be in a metal band. So I ended up moving to Brighton to go to university because that was the only way I could afford to leave Wales because I had to get a student grant.
This was my next
grant.
Question because it's the favorite musician question. Did you go to uni? So you went to uni in Brighton. What did you go to uni for?
I studied music.
Age 5, you started singing, right? Age 12, you got a guitar for the first time, right?
Yeah.
So I know that. But, so, started singing age 5. That's cool, right? What age did you actually know that singing might actually be a career? Or did you say to your parents, okay, I want to be a singer?
I was a bit of an attention hog, I think, when I was a child.
Were you an only child?
I'm my dad's only child, and my mom has another son, so I've got a half-brother. So
I
kind of got the best of both worlds. I had only child sort of treatment from my dad, and then I also had a sibling to play with. So it was pretty good. And because I think I had my brother and he was the younger one, he was the baby, I had to sort of compete for attention. And thus I started singing.
That was it. It's like, if I sing, they'll pay attention to me or they'll tell me to go away.
Yeah, one or the other.
One or the other.
Yeah, and I think I wasn't very good at blending in. I remember like my sort of specific first memories of realizing I could kind of sing was at primary school, and we were singing this song called A Long Way to Tipperary, which is like a very
I know it very well.
traditional
British my dad, you know, the advantage of being a certain age is that like there are songs like that actually made their way over. It was like very military stuff.
Yeah. I think it was Vera Lynn. Is it Vera Lynn?
Right.
Would sing it. It was like part of the military. I don't know. They'd play it for the soldiers back in World War II. And we were doing that at school, and we were supposed to be singing it all together in my class. And I didn't like that it wasn't just me. So apparently I sung really, really loud until they gave me a solo.
So between getting that guitar and uni, what, you know, were you somebody in school who they were like, oh, you've got to play the class concert, or?
Yeah, I was that kid at
You were
school
that kid.
That
I was that kid
playing
at school too,
all of the talent competitions, and I think I like got bullied about it and sort of embarrassed myself a lot, but loved it so much that I did it anyway.
Yeah, but you know what? You get to that, I'll tell you what, just go, I don't care. It doesn't matter. Okay, so let's talk trajectory. Graduating uni was how long ago?
Oh my gosh, just when COVID happened, so it would have been in 2020.
But that's nothing. That's very little time between then and you're sitting here. So what happens? I mean, COVID happens, right? And what an interesting time to start a career. But again, I'm gonna suppose that it's also a good time because you have lots of alone time to think about stuff and make stuff. So is that what you did?
Yeah, I was super lucky. COVID was so rubbish for so many people, but I'll always say that I felt like very lucky to have been in quite a privileged position through it and found myself and really like got grounded in what kind of music I wanted to make and who I wanted to work with, because we had to stop and we had time to think about those things and like try different stuff and ponder it, and it really like made me the artist that I'm becoming, I think.
Okay, so I'm going to go right for it, because this is stuff that's out there, but it's really kind of fun. Being observational, one of the best things anybody can do is write what they know, right? And actually tell the truth. And, you know, there's different types of songwriting, there's different types of artists that do fantasy, but I know that your stuff is very, 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 very close to the surface. You're not doing a lot of fantasy work here. So, man, guys suck, don't they?
They can.
But I don't think your song is coming from anger.
No.
But I wanted to find that, because I think that a lot of the articles you read, it's like, okay, she's telling her truth. And it's like, well, and then people meet you and they're going to expect you to be this angry kind of human being.
Yeah, I think it's really easy when you hear breakup songs or like heartbreak songs to sort of take bits of it and think it's a really angry song, or that I have anger towards the person, especially because of some of the song titles. But when you listen to the lyrics and the way I wrote the songs, they're actually very quite kind to the people and try to see both sides of it going wrong, and the flaws in both of us.
Okay, but I want to keep going here. I've got to go down this path. The guys that won't go away, the ones that are kind of like, when you say, look, I'm not in love anymore, it's not going to work. Oh, no, 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 no. I'll fix it. Right? This is a theme, isn't it?
Yeah.
With you.
Yeah. Yeah. I have a tendency to go out with guys with savior complexes, and I don't usually want to be saved, basically.
So have you learned, like when you start going out with them, to go, okay, look, here's the deal. This is who you're about to go out with. And I'm very independent. And I know who I've spent a lot of time figuring out who I am. And so what you see is what you get.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely like that. And I have to sort of front it with, I'm a songwriter. So, you know.
You might, by the way, you also might have. Yeah, beware. You might also end up in one of my songs.
Yeah, exactly.
That, you see, but that's a great defense mechanism. And then they're like, oh, cool, I'm going to be in one of your songs. And they're like, okay, let me play you a couple of the songs from the ones who didn't make it. And maybe that's not a good idea.
Yeah, that's always that. I feel like when I get into relationships, they expect love songs and I usually don't get them because I'm not very good at writing them. So they get the latter.
Oh, no. Oh, the poor. I'm sorry. I wish I could have empathy for the guys, but I tend to have empathy for women more than guys. Did you have any idea what you wanted all this to sound like? Because it's not typical singer-songwriter stuff. It's produced.
Yeah. No. So while I was still at uni, I met the two producers that I've recorded most of my stuff so far with. And one of them was an engineer for a very famous songwriter. And he...
But you're not going to tell me that songwriter.
No, do I have to?
No, you can. You can. It's up to you.
His name's Jamie Scott. He's a very talented guy.
Got it. Got it.
And he very kindly, he may not have known at the time, let us use his big studio and all its shiny equipment on the weekends and evenings.
Yes.
For about 2 years.
The best.
And we recorded a lot of stuff for not very much money there, and that's where we made the first EP of music.
How did you come to a place that became what everybody's hearing and about to hear?
It's a great question. It was like they were like the missing puzzle pieces to
because they knew sound and that's not something you did.
They knew how to make the sound I was trying to make, essentially. Probably because we have a lot of similar influences. We're listening to a lot of the same music. So what did you tell them?
Without, forget the influences. What did you say? I want this to be big. I want this to be lush. I want this to have reverb. I want this to not just feel like I'm strumming a guitar and singing into a microphone. How did you describe it to them?
To be honest, we all played it live in the room together.
Oh, wow.
So they're all both quite talented musicians, and there were some really old guitars in there, some lovely guitars. I picked up this Levin, which is like a Swedish, I think, Scandinavian kind of guitar.
It's really cool stuff.
Really old. And we picked it up, and we all played one of the songs together live in the room, and we recorded it in like 6 hours. And
so you really recorded it live.
Yeah, and that is how we've done a lot of the stuff. So we play like a band, basically.
How much, back to your dad, I'm going out of order. Listening to Julia Jacklin and listening to Garth and all these things that you're just riding in the car. As you're recording, does it resonate in your head?
Yes. I really write music and record it for cars. My dad is a big car person, and I got brought up, luckily, in lots of different cars because that's his job, the car dealer. And favorite place to listen to music is in cars, so I always write and record it pretty much to be heard in that scenario.
Somehow, through the experience of your dad, you got to hear music in very different environments, and that got into your head.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool, though.
No, it's cool. It's such a gift, and I'm so grateful. Because there's sort of this thing, I think, when you're making music, it's always going to sound its best in the studio, coming out those big speakers in the studio, and it's hard often to recreate it in other places when you go and listen to it like a week later or on your phone. You're like, oh, it's just not as good. But the car is kind of like that for me. I feel like music sounds
very cool.
Best there.
Okay, so this is a favorite thing of mine. When did you know that you were writing? I call them songs. And a song to me, it doesn't have to have the middle eight in exactly the same place, but it has to have hooks. So when did you know you had songs? And do you think you know that you have them at this point?
I don't know. I think I have still a lot to learn. I think recently, the most recent project I've recorded is the first time I've been like, okay, this sounds like really what has been in my brain and is when things unite, it really feels like that.
That's so hard, isn't it?
But I'm sure I've still got so much.
We're here because of Glassnote. And every artist has a great story. Had you recorded, had you finished an EP and were shopping it?
So basically, I had finished pretty much an EP when I just met my managers, and we had a conversation, and they asked me, are there any, we're going to start looking around and having some conversations, are there any labels you would like? What's your dream situation in your mind? And I said Glassnote. I've always wanted to work with them.
Wow.
I've been such a big fan of their roster for such a long time.
That is such a different story. So who on Glassnote, who hit you from Glassnote that you said, man, if I could be, if I could be part of that?
Yeah, I mean, I was really into Daughter when I first started making music.
They've done what you're going to do in a few minutes. They've done the last thing. Well, they all have, but anyway.
And Jade Bird was just coming up as I was starting in uni, and I'd seen her at a few gigs, and I was just so amazed by how she wasn't doing exactly the same thing that most artists were doing, and she was, like, strong and singing, like, properly singing and just, like, really smashing it when she played live, and I felt really inspired by that, and wanted
so
a piece
so
of
your
pie.
Managers send your stuff to Glassnote.
Yeah.
And then?
And Daniel responded, and we had a meeting.
Wow.
Yeah, and I think we signed like maybe 2 months later.
That you realize that's a dream scenario. You realize that does not happen. How are you going to just reconcile yourself with not getting lumped in to the 80 gazillion young female artists that are all out there?
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I think I'm just going to be...
And do you care, by the way?
I mean, I just want to make... I'm in it because I love making music, not money. That's why I became a musician. It's for the music for me, and I just want to stay
But this is your job. You don't have a day job. you're doing this. So that's very, 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 very
yeah,
lucky.
I feel super fortunate, and I'm just going to do the best I can, you know, play as many gigs I can, be as honest with myself, and, you know, do what I feel is, like, aligns with my beliefs, and, yeah, hope that it goes okay.
I've invented a thing called a musical sandwich.
Okay.
And what it is two of your songs on the outside.
Yeah.
And then songs by anybody else you want to play in between.